Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the spoon of the internet, scooping out the inside of the passion fruit of humour and adding it to the fruit salad.
Oh, that's a lovely looking fruit salad now.
Getting a bit tropical.
Pretty tasty. That's a gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant, and every week we invite a guest in and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is...
Dr. Maggie Adarin-Pocock. Dr. Maggie Adarin-Pocock, one of... the foremost leading space scientists in the UK, James, nay the world, nay the universe.
Yes, very exciting to finally have a legitimate scientist on the podcast.
We've had Brian Cox before, of course.
We've had a fake one.
Yeah, he gave us very short shrift on our idiotic musings.
Well, no, we're not idiotic. You know, there's no wrong questions in science.
Yes, that's true.
There's no wrong questions.
That's the old phrase.
Only wrong answers.
Yeah.
And we got some wrong answers on that one. So hopefully we'll get the right answers this time.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Dr. Maggie has been involved in so many amazing scientific projects. And also, like, you know, on TV more and more these days
as
well.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it whenever she pops up and stuff.
Does panel shows and things. And yeah. She's QI. Brilliant fun. And QI, I think she's done Would I Lie to You as well.
Yeah.
She's getting booked more than us for these things, James.
And rightly so.
Rightly so. She's a lot of fun and she knows a lot. And she's got a new book coming out, James, The Art of Stargazing, My Essential Guide to Navigating the Night Sky.
The Sky at Night.
The Art of Stargazing.
My Essential Guide to Navigating the Night Sky.
Yes, very, very excited to read that. That is coming out on November 2nd.
On Ebury Press.
But of course, if Maggie says a secret ingredient on which we have pre-agreed, we're going to put her in the airlock and blast her out to space.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Maggie.
And this week, the secret ingredient is Milky Way Magic Stars.
Milky Way Magic Stars. Of course, Brian Cox, we picked Space Raiders.
Yeah, so we're keeping the space theme.
Keeping the space theme.
Obviously, we like Milky Way Magic Stars. We're not idiots.
They're fine.
What?
They're fine. I'd rather have just a regular Milky Way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. The ratio is off with the Magic Stars.
Yeah.
I like the fluffy center of the Milky Way, and I'd like more of that. Really.
Yeah, and also Magic Stars are one of those things that if I eat them, I feel like a little baby.
Yeah, actually, I hate them.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we've chosen it as a secret ingredient.
Yeah, I feel like a little baby, I do.
Yeah, I feel like a little baby, and Ed doesn't like feeling like a baby. I don't like it when my friend Ed feels like a baby.
Yeah.
And I prefer the main bars as well.
Yes, absolutely. But we're very excited to talk to Maggie. Also, you've got to get her book, sure, but maybe add a little food book to your collection.
Oh, that's fun.
My food book, October 26th. Ed Gamble, Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy.
I'm going to read it, but it's also available on audiobook, isn't it?
It's also available on audiobook. James is going to read it. I mean, he's probably had a proof copy by now.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Thank you. But enough chat about my projects, James, unless you want to mention one of yours.
My name is James Acaster, and please buy Partygate of Purgatory by Temps, the album of the year.
This is the off-menu menu of Dr. Maggie
Adarin Pocock.
Welcome, Dr. Maggie, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here. I love when you...
Welcome, Dr. Maggie Adarin Pocock, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Have you?
Where do you stand on genies as a woman of science?
Ah,
where do you stand on genies like me?
I do like a genie. I must admit. I mean, three wishes, all that. I mean, you can't knock it, really.
Well, that's good.
I was expecting a genie skeptic in the room.
Oh, I was expecting you to be a genie skeptic.
Well, I just watched a film, I think, 1,000 Years of Longing. Actually, it's more than that.
Yeah.
3,000 Years of Longing. And that was a genie. And that was pretty cool, you see.
Yeah.
Which one's that? Is that what happens in that film?
Idris Elba.
He's a massive genie in a hotel room.
He is. Yes, it. And yes, and that's it. And his toes are poking through the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not heard of this film. I feel like you two have got together and decided to make up a film.
I've heard about the film.
To gaslight me into.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, it's
Idris
Elba
was a massive genie in a hotel room with his toes poking through the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice one, guys.
who's the person who gets the genie? Tilda Swinton.
Yes, Tilda Swinton.
Mm. Tilda Swinton.
Oh, great. Benito's getting involved now. You've all planned this.
Tilda Swinton's in the hotel room, yes. Right? And then the big genie comes in.
Why does the big genie come in?
She rubs the lamp. Well, it's a glassware, actually, and she breaks it by accident.
She breaks the glassware. That happens sometimes.
Yes.
So this genie comes out of glassware when it's broken rather than rubbed.
Yes.
Yeah, but that happens with me as well sometimes. That's right. Why in the Dream Restaurant, if someone smashes a glass,
yeah,
I come out of the glass.
Yeah.
What, and tell them off.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go, wee, I'll do that thing.
You used to work in a Greek restaurant, didn't you? It was too much in the end.
I was very busy. Cut off my little feet. Are you a foodie, Dr. Maggie?
Yes. But a foodie with a caveat.
Yes.
Okay.
It's one like that. Ooh,
we love a caveat.
Yeah. I have a 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And when she was born, I developed a horrendous dairy allergy.
Okay.
And it turns out that dairy is in almost everything, especially everything tasty.
Mm.
I think butter, cream, virtually all French cooking is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very severe. I have to carry an EpiPen. Oh. And if I ingest it, before my throat used to just swell up, which was, you know, the classic.
Wow.
But now it's sort of explosive in both ends. So, yeah, it's pretty... Yeah, so I do love food, but it's sort of I have to... And that's why I'm assuming in this restaurant that won't be a problem.
Yeah,
yeah, it's up to you. It's your dream meal, so we can take that away.
Oh, gosh, wow.
Is your daughter allergic to dairy as well?
No.
But it was her birth that caused you to be allergic to dairy?
Yeah.
Is that ever a source of resentment for you?
Yes. I think everyone wants to know that.
Yes, well. No.
But what about if you see your daughter and she's eating up a massive sundae and loving it?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is that nice? Is it?
Yeah, you're enjoying that, are you?
Yeah.
Actually, it was funny because she was very sweet because it cut in when she was soon after she was born. Yeah. She said, yeah, my mummy can't eat drink cream, she can't eat. Yeah, so she used to really look after me that way.
Uh-huh.
She's 13 now, so slightly less so.
But
I do it vicariously.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, what are you eating, Laurie? Cool. Is that butter on there? Oh, that looks nice. Which sounds slightly dodgy.
Well, no. Hey, I think she deserves it.
It just seems unfair, doesn't it?
That, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, and the idea is that when you're carrying the fetus,
uh-huh.
your immune system is suppressed, so you don't attack the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes out, your immune system is meant to go to normal. And it's just a very small percentage of people, but they just develop random allergies.
Mm.
So I had a few allergies before, but it was things like Brazil nuts, which are really easy to avoid.
Mm.
But then suddenly, and it took me a long time to work it out, because my asthma was playing up and my eczema was playing up and I couldn't work out what it was. It turned out to be all dairy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I mean, I'm really glad that I will never... give birth to a baby.
Many of us are too, actually.
Yeah.
We're very happy. Yeah. Although it feels like genies could give birth.
Mm. Does big Idris Elba give birth in that film? I've not seen it. Spoiler alert for anyone listening.
Well, I'll say no.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. I reckon he could.
But you could wish it. If I had three wishes,
that would be one of
my wishes could be, genie, I want you to give birth.
Oh, yeah.
Skip the pregnancy, just give
birth.
Yeah,
give birth.
Straight in there.
Genie, I want you to have a dairy allergy. That would be a harsh thing to do to a genie.
Actually, no, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
Yeah.
You would find a genie in a lamp and you would have three wishes and it would be give birth and have a dairy allergy. It would be two of them.
No, I think it'd be one or the other.
Because I think
I could cover off what I want from a genie in 2 wishes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah, like, you don't need 3 wishes.
What are you talking about?
What would your wishes be then?
Unlimited money, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. And well, I don't know, actually. Then I'd just give birth and have a dairy allergy.
Yeah.
Because you reckon with unlimited money, you could do anything you wanted.
Yeah. Don't you think?
No.
What would you say as a woman of science?
Money talks.
What would you say? What would you say?
Well, the thing is, because my dream is to get out there into space,
and money would help.
I know. And if you look at the battle of the billionaires at the moment with sort of Musk and sort of Branson and people like that, but my thing is, I want to go to the stars. I don't want to, low Earth orbit and things like that. I want to, out there.
So that would be one of your wishes.
Yes,
that Star Trek was real and you were the captain of the Enterprise.
I'll be your horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. How close can you get to a star before it gets a bit dodgy?
Oh, actually, there is a probe called Parker which is approaching the sun and doing orbits of the sun at the moment, and it gets pretty close. But things, I want to go to sort of next door star system.
Yeah.
So there's our sun and the planets. I want to go to the next door star system, 4.28 light years away, 40 trillion kilometers away, and actually sort of go and visit the planets that are going around the star, because the star itself is a bit.
So you want to see the other planets?
Yes.
And see if there's
aliens.
Life there.
Yeah, meet the aliens.
I'd wish to never be ill.
Oh, sorry. Health, wealth, and happiness.
Yes,
that's the one.
Never be ill. I don't want to live forever.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be able to set my own death date, but be completely fine up until then, and then die.
Bam.
Yeah.
But what if you could live forever, but with other people? The people you're close to.
I just think I just get knackered.
Just bored.
Yeah, just get so bored.
Because technology is developing so quickly, I think if I lived long enough, I could make it into space.
Yeah.
So you're hanging around a bit might be quite nice. But I wouldn't want to do it on my own. I'd like to sort of bring a gang.
Yeah. It's annoying now because I don't have a spare wish to give you a dairy allergy.
Well, now you've gone for health and
thank
wealth.
Thank God for small mercies. I mean... But older you get, isn't it more dangerous going into space if you're like well old and then they fire you up there?
Well, it's quite interesting.
You break.
Things could go a bit wrong. Mentioned Star Trek. So William Shatner.
Yeah.
He went into space when he was 90.
Yes.
Wow. So I've got a few years.
That's true. Yeah.
I think you go sort of gently, and it was sort of low Earth orbit. So but he was weightless, and there's a video of him going, "Oh my." Whoa!
Yeah, he's loving it. How long do you think it would take you to get to the where you want to go, though?
Yeah.
That's a while away, right?
It is. So using current technology, and that's travelling at 16 kilometres a second.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, nice. Yeah. I could do with some of that as well. But 16 kilometres a second from our star to the next door neighbour star is 76,000 years. Mm-hmm. I like to have a crazy dream. But there's new technology we were trying to develop, and that you could shorten that down, because there's something called Breakthrough Starshot, and it's what they call a solar sail. So a sheet of metallized plastic with a probe in the center, and in the past we've used sunlight to sort of accelerate them, but now you can have a bank of lasers, turn off the power to London, fire these lasers, laser beams shoot up, and it would accelerate this probe to a fifth of the speed of light.
Whoa.
And if you can do that, that's warp factor a quarter. Sorry, I'm a real Trekkie. It's coming through here. But warp factor a quarter. And if you do that, you can get from our star system to the next old star system in 20 years. But the probe can weigh no more than 1 gram. So, again, a limitation.
Yeah. And then how do you get back?
You don't.
You don't. Yeah.
You accelerate to a fifth of the speed light and just continue. At the fifth of the speed,
Well, then, here's the question then. If they get it sorted so that, they can do that with people.
Yes.
Would you do it, Dr. Maggie? 20 years to get there and you can't come back. That's one hell of a thing imagine looking at that on if you called an Uber and you look at that and it says 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah. Well, actually, also, because you're going at a fifth of the speed of light, so you're blinking, you miss it.
Yeah.
So you don't even know it's 20 years. So you've lost 20 years of your life.
You can have some of my wishes, Maggie, because it sounds like you need a load of them.
What I would do is, rather than doing that, although I want to get to the stars, I would retire to Mars, a one-way ticket to Mars.
Right.
Because if you look at the planets of the solar system, I think Mars would be the place to go. Because Mercury, very close to the sun, too hot. Yeah. Venus, actually, is even hotter than Mercury on average, because it's got the greenhouse effect. It's got things in the atmosphere that heat it up. Earth, we know, quite nice. So, yeah. But Mars, it's a rocky planet. It's cold, so it's like Antarctica.
Yeah.
We know it used to have liquid water running over the surface. It could. There could be signs that there was life there. So I'll be retired. People retire to their gardens.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just retire to the surface of Mars, pottering around. Oh, what's that?
I don't know, man. I think you want to meet aliens, and you already know there's no aliens walking around Mars.
Mars.
I reckon if they offer you the...
What, the flyby?
Yeah, I reckon you're doing that.
Yeah.
We'll see. Before we get into your menu, we should also mention the art of stargazing. It's very exciting. What can you tell the listeners about it?
Well, as an astronomer, I do some stargazing, sort of, yeah, it goes. Although that was a passion of mine right from the get-go. Space and astronomy.
No worries. Is that from the future?
Yes. Oh, Captain Kirk. No.
If you did get a text message from Captain Kirk, what would you hope it would say?
It beam me up.
Beam me? Yeah. He would asking you to beam him up.
Well, I hope he's beaming me up to far-flung destination.
If he texts you saying beam me up, you've got the wrong number.
Yeah.
I can't do
that.
You're in danger, Captain
also,
Kirk.
They never, I don't think I ever saw on Star Trek anyone saying, I'm going to beam you up.
I'm going to beam you up, Captain.
It was always a request, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A promise.
Beam me up now.
Yeah, beam me up now. I'm going to beam you up.
Yeah. So you know I'm going to beam you up. No, I'm not ready yet.
And I look forward to Star Trek boffins getting in contact with me to let me know the exact episodes where someone has said, I'm going to beam you up. I'm sure it has happened.
Dr. Mack is probably biting her tongue right now. Knows exactly what it's been said.
Yeah, she's going to flip out a bit.
So the art of stargazing, which of course, we're all made of stars, right?
Oh yeah, stardust.
So do you think stargazing makes you a pervert?
I never saw it in that way.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite embarrassed now.
Is it too late to change the book?
Yes, I know. Yes. Okay, change the title. We are all made of stardust because the stuff that's in us is made in the heart of stars. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and stargazing I think is important because I've been doing it since I was a child. And but it's something that every culture across the world has done. And so to me, it's the oldest science. And if you do look at everybody, they've always looked up and wondered. And that's what we continue doing today. And so it's just sort of a few handy tips about, you know, where to go. If you live in a flat, for instance, you know, turn off the inside lights, open the windows, look away from streetlights. If you can get somewhere sort of dark and glorious, you know, it's sort of, yeah, it's places with dark skies status. Yeah, go out there. I used to lie on the ground with a glass of Prosecco. the wine really helps.
Yeah. Where's the best place you've found, like best location where the stars looked the best?
Yes. So I've been lucky enough to work on some of the big telescopes. They build them in great locations. In fact, I'm going to visit one next month. It's called the ELT, the Extremely Large Telescope.
What? Who named that? What kid named that?
Well, it comes on the heels of the very large telescope, the VLT, the Very Large Telescope. So we've got the Very Large Telescope, and now we're going for the Extremely Large Telescope.
The VLT is a vegan BLT.
You're on a mountain in the Atacama Desert. Yeah. But yeah, they're because it's the Atacama Desert, driest place on Earth.
Yeah,
the stars there are, and as the sun sets, the sky goes a deep purple, and then the stars appear, and they are. Oh, they make my heart sing to see them.
Wow. Are you excited one day to be invited to look through the FMT?
I'm worried here.
Get to a point where they have to say FMT.
Yeah, they got to say the FMT. They got to go, do you want to come look through the fucking massive telescope? That's going to happen.
No, sorry. Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, the bigger the telescope. Yeah. We've got the BLT, the ELT. We've got the OWL, the Overwhelmingly Large Telescope. But the
Overwhelmingly Large Telescope, the OWL. Wow. Still a sparkling water.
Well, this has to be still because sparkling water makes me burp.
Right, yeah, like burping.
Well, actually, I was thinking because this is the restaurant, the Genie restaurant. So burps could be a lot more fun here.
Yeah.
In which case, yeah, I would go for sparkling water because if burps were sort of rainbows and tasted of anything you could think of, then that would be worth it. Yeah.
What would you like the burp to taste of?
Oh gosh, I've got a 13-year-old daughter. And she's got a vodka thing at the moment. I don't know why.
What?
Right.
No, she's not actually
Maggie,
drink
that's
it.
Very worried.
She doesn't actually drink it, but she's got an obsession with it. Immediately I turn 18, I'm going for the vodka.
She wants to have vodka. She really wants vodka when she's 18.
I don't think vodka's that nice on its own.
No, it's not.
But that's such a 13-year-old thing to think, I think.
I know.
When I was younger than that, actually, I had to write a story at school about hunting for treasure. And yes. I was maybe
I know about this
six
story.
Or seven. Yes. And I I wrote a whole story where I was digging for treasure and I kept finding what I thought was a treasure, but it was empty gin bottles and empty vodka bottles. And I handed it in and I told my mum about it. She was like, they're going to think I'm an alcoholic. Yes. They just think you're finding all these empty spirit bottles in the house every day.
So, Mom, got another one.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what sparked the interest in the vodka?
No, not really. I think what's a high it? Percentage proof. As well as I can tell. She's a scientist. What can
yeah.
I say?
Yeah. She's already following your footsteps. Maybe she heard our Dan Aykroyd episode.
Yeah.
And really wants the crystal skull.
Maybe.
Crystal head.
Yeah. Oh, get that right, James. You said it enough.
Holy shit. I can't believe I got it wrong. Crystal head vodka.
Yeah.
Ooh, is that
is delicious on its own, by the way.
Yeah, it is actually.
No additives.
Yeah.
Is that what we've got here?
Yeah, that's what you've got. That's what you've got in that glass. We thought you'd make your daughter jealous. Give you a tumbler full of crystal head vodka.
Leave her to her dairy. You should just sit vodka in front of her and go, look what I can have.
Yeah. Only when you're 18. Unless you rebel against me and do it tomorrow.
Don't do that.
You want to have special burps in the dream.
That tastes like vodka.
Yeah, vodka. Well, actually, anything. Well, I do like amaretto.
Yeah,
because they're quite, that's quite sweet. I think, and Cointreau again, quite sweet.
Yeah,
the boozy burps.
boozy burps. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Obviously, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, they do burps that give them weightlessness, essentially, like zero gravity burps.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Now that would be fun. Yeah, because yeah. if I drink enough, I could reach for the stars.
Yeah,
you could end up in that. So, as a woman of science, how long do you think it would take you to burp yourself in out of space?
As a woman of science.
Yes. Well, as a woman of science, I've given this lots of thought. And the thing is, if I want to count myself as an astronaut, I need to go 100 kilometres above sea level.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a sort of an imaginary sort of a sphere around the Earth, and that is then you're an astronaut.
Yes.
And so I'd have to do that. So it has to be at least that. But that would be fun. So 100 kilometres up. And let's say, goodness me, how much am I going to move with each burp? 10 centimetres?
Well,
it depends on the strength of the burps, I guess.
China in the Chocolate Factory, it's about 10 centimetres a burp, I think.
Yeah. So, you want me to do the calculation?
Yeah. How long would it take you to burp yourself to the point where you're officially an astronaut? And how much fizzy pop would you have to drink to get up there?
And also, when I got up there, you'd want to wear a spacesuit because otherwise you can't breathe.
Yeah, then you can't breathe.
Yeah.
So that's, you wonder
how the burps are helping if they're trapped inside a spacesuit.
Yeah, because if you do that.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And then if you. But can you breathe off burps? It's getting very complicated now.
Yeah.
But these are things we should consider.
Do you just want still water?
No, you've said that. Yeah. Stick with the still.
That's fair enough if you just want still.
You look disappointed.
Well, I wanted you to have the one that burps yourself into space.
Fulfilling my dream.
Yeah. I mean, if they said to you, Dr. Maggie, we can send you to this other galaxy, but you have to burp yourself there. And that's the only way we can do it.
Yeah.
Would you do it? And it will take 20 years, but literally 20, not blink of an eye 20 years.
Okay. Yeah, but so, yeah,
right, it will be
sustained.
20 years of burping yourself in over to the other planet.
Yeah. Sorry, that sounds horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, but this is your dream
eventually,
well.
Though.
You'll be the first one to meet aliens.
And well, you can burp yourself back as well.
That is helpful. Yeah, it's not just your own flyby, it's you can come back.
Would you do it?
No.
You were saying no. So your dream's not worth that?
See, I'm trying to work out if it would be better if I was farting. But just
Okay, yeah. Here's your option.
Yeah.
You can burp and it'll take 20 years.
Yes.
Or you can fart and it'll take 10 years, but it'll stink.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, in the vacuum of space, who's going to...
Can you smell farts in space?
Well, so...
As a woman of science.
As a woman of science, can you smell farts in space?
Space is vacuum.
Yeah.
So if you fart, the gas would be there, and if someone passed through it and could sniff without sort of freezing and sort of suffocating, yes, you could.
So you could smell it.
Yes. Well, your sensors in your nose might sort of freeze.
Right.
But I think it'd be just easier to fart in your spacesuit.
So you would smell
fart in your spacesuit. Seal it up.
But you would smell it in your suit. I guess.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you smell it in the suit.
Yes.
It's a wanted to know. Yeah.
I'm glad we're considering these. Yes. Yeah, these often not pondered things.
Yeah, well, get ready for more of that, because I've got loads of questions. Yeah. Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Dr. Maggie-Andering Pocock. Problems or bread? People with double barrel surnames, it's very hard to shout Poppadoms or bread at, so I have to do it really quickly.
Well, Poppadoms, bread, Pocock, is it Poppadoms? It's all pops together, yeah, yeah. So it's quite nice.
Oh, yeah, Poppadom Pocock.
One of the things I really miss is, you know, really crusty. Sorry, I'm going to go in sort of your Marks and Spencer's speak here. Yeah. A really crusty bread, yeah, slathered with your pure salted butter.
Of course.
Because I can't do the butter at the moment.
Can't do it anymore.
And the margarine ain't quite the same. Mm. And so that was one of the things on my menu. So it would definitely be bread, and it would be definitely really good quality butter and lots of it.
Yeah, yeah. Are you buttering, you like Ed, and you're buttering every little morsel of bread?
Yes, as I get more butter per
tear per off crumb. Chunks and butter the chunks rather than doing the whole thing.
Have a mouthful, butter it again.
Yeah, yeah.
When I see people at a restaurant take a whole slice and butter it like they're at home, I just think, where's your fucking ambition gone?
You've got that pat of butter in front of you. You're not going to get through off of
it. Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I'm there to get through it. Yeah.
So is this going to set the tone for a lot of the menu? We're getting rid of the dairy.
Actually, no. Allergy. Some things are sort of reminiscent. Some things I could probably actually cook at home. So actually, and I was surprised. I thought I might just go for it. Ah, yeah, yeah. But see, although I've got a dairy allergy, it's not too bad for me because I never really liked, you know, solid cheeses. Yeah. You know, when people bring a cheese board round, I'd never
disgusting.
Eat that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't like that anyway.
Disgusting.
See, well, that's pretty unanimous, actually.
Not unanimous at all. That's the opposite of unanimous.
Ed agrees.
I think cheese boards are the best invention of all time.
Oh, we see.
Yes. Oh. And I count as two votes, so it's a draw.
How do you count as two votes?
I do.
Since when?
I'm the cheese guy.
Is that what... How long has that been happening for, all the decisions we've made, that Ed's got two votes? Quite a while, Benito says always. Yeah. No wonder I never get my own way on this
podcast. Just didn't notice.
Benito gets no votes.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Actually, you get Benito's vote.
Yeah, I get Benito's vote, exactly. Yeah.
Every time I think that we've all voted, it's actually you voting twice. That's why I always lose.
Yes.
That's a big shame. As a woman of science, do you think that's fair?
As a woman of science, no, I do not. No. I believe in equality for all.
I'll hand back one of my votes.
Let's get into your menu proper, your dream starter.
Yes. So dream starter is actually going back to my childhood. And it's something that it isn't affected by the dairy allergy at all. Mm-hmm. And it's Nigerian, because my parents come from Nigeria, even though I was born here. And it's something called jollof rice.
Yes.
With dodo. Oh, you're familiar.
Jollof rice. Oh.
Oh. We've got a running chat about jollof rice on this podcast. We've had many guests from Nigerian backgrounds, many guests with Ghanaian backgrounds.
Yes.
We've had a guest with Sierra Leonean background as well.
Yeah, definitely West African.
Yeah, so a lot of West African guests, and there's always the jollof wars.
The jollof wars on this podcast.
Yeah. I take a step back.
Yeah. Who has the best jollof? And it's a lot of opinions flying around. Weirdly, so far, no one has chosen a country that they do not themselves come from or have heritage from. Well, no one has gone, to be fair, actually.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Actually, next door, gone there, their jollof rice is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm three quarters Nigerian and one quarter Sierra Leone.
Oh.
So I both do pretty well. Yeah. Nigeria is slightly better, of course. Well, 75% better.
But yeah. Would you have that mix in the bowl? 75% jollof from Nigeria.
You could have like a little lunch tray with segments.
Yeah.
Three Nigerian segments and one Sierra Leonean segment.
But good maths. As a man of maths, well, may I congratulate you, Ed.
I like the Europe.
Yeah, very good.
But I think perhaps this is the thing. What you need is a jollof rice taste-off, where you actually have your a Benito box with the little sections and sort of Nigerian, unspecified, so people don't know.
Blind tasting.
Blind tasting.
Blind jollof.
Yeah. A jollof off.
Yeah.
Jollof off. I like it.
Taste jollof. Brilliant.
Very exciting. Okay, well, we will do that.
Yes.
I mean, but for you, Nigerian is...
I haven't tasted the others. So sure. As a woman of science, I can't
As a woman of science, you know that you have to try all of them.
What was the thing you wanted with the jollof rice?
Dodo.
Dodo.
Oh, that's what we called it when I was little. But it's just fried plantain.
Nice. Mm.
But yeah, this is, to me, this as a child, this was the nectar of the gods.
Yeah.
You know, ambrosia, shipped down from on high.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, choosing your plantain is very is an art form.
Yes.
Because you don't want to go for green because they're really fibrous. And, but you want it to go because plantains are like bananas, but it's like a slightly overly ripe banana. Because if it is too sort of fresh, then yeah, it's too fibrous. But if it's sometimes they do go moldy, so yeah. Then you know you've gone too far. But there's a sweet spot, you know, probably for about a day or two, where you slice into it and it's sort of sticky. And sort of when you fry it, it sort of caramelizes. And so you get sort of a crisp outer coating and then sort of you chomp into the sort of delicious center. So
that sounds very good.
I love plantain.
Also,
yes. So how do you fry it or do you?
I don't think I've done it at home that much. I think, but whenever I'm out and I see it available, I will absolutely get plantain. Because it feels, especially if you're having it in the main meal, it feels like a little cheat where you get it's almost an extra dessert that fits in perfectly.
It's not made of stone.
Because it is quite sweet, but
delicious.
Also, you mentioned there, coming from on high from the gods and the ambrosia of the gods. Now, I didn't expect that from a woman of science. We had Brian Cox on, who I refuse to give him some sort of whatever he is, professor.
He's professor.
Yeah, I'm not saying that shit because that.
You never called him a man of science.
I never called him a man of science. I didn't respect him as much because he would refuse to say ambrosia with the gods.
Yeah, he would not say that.
Why?
He would hate the gods.
Oh, we see gods full stop. Yeah. Any size, shape, or form.
Also, he didn't enjoy us asking him if dark matter was evil. He wouldn't be drawn on that.
Yeah. Can you believe that? We're inquisitive.
Yes. Well, so as a watcher of the Marvel Universe, dark matter, it sounds a bit.
There we go.
Me.
Thank this you. This is what I'm talking about.
Thank you very much.
I think, again, it's like the ELT and the VLT. I think they should have fought back the name a bit more.
Dark matter.
But dark matter is just sort of a name they gave it because we just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just dark. We can't see it. It's dark. Okay?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But we can't see it because it's hiding, because it's evil.
No, it's lurking out there.
Yeah.
Up to mischief.
So that's fair enough. If Brian Cox is listening,
I'm sure he will.
Will you say to him, "Be fair, Brian. It could be evil."
Oh, actually, as a woman of science, I think I can say, Brian, yes, it could be evil. We don't know.
Yeah,
we have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
In your face, Cox.
In your face. We knew it.
Yeah.
We called it before, and he spoke down to us.
Yeah.
I can see papers coming out. The evilness of dark matter.
Yeah.
What should we do?
Yeah. Everyone's going to be reporting on how dark matter's evil. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reports now about aliens and stuff, isn't there?
Yes.
Are you excited about this?
Ooh. Well, actually, yes. And in fact, I'm working on a program at the moment looking at sort of the alien files.
Really?
And sort of looking at people's experiences of, you know, sort of aliens and sort of, you know, what they see and trying to, you know, put a scientific bent on it and say, you know, what else could it be? You know, what they've seen, you know, was it really aliens or what else could it have been?
Yeah. Could it be, for example, that they're absolutely crazy?
Batshit crazy.
Yeah. Could it be that they're crazy?
First question you ask. Quick question before we get into the alien stuff. Are you crazy?
Then wait for the answer. Yeah. Thing is, if you say you are crazy and you know it, because you're aware. So
yeah,
those guys mean you're not crazy?
No, they're the craziest guys of all.
I'm crazy.
Yeah. They're so crazy, even they can't deny it. Yes.
I say I'm a self-certified lunatic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes. Yeah.
Benito, we've got to tighten the booking policy for this. I didn't know we got a self-certified lunatic on.
Anyway.
But by lunatic, do you mean you love the moon?
I do.
Yes.
Oh,
you sound disappointed.
No, that's nice. I like that. I feel safe again.
Cheers.
You love the moon. That's why you're a lunatic.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. They're genuinely both drinking now.
Just for the Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Let's move on to your main course.
Yes. And so this I found quite troubling because I was thinking, you know, in this fantastic restaurant, this wonderful location, what would I like to eat?
Mm.
And I came up with, well, it was almost a combination of a sort of a Christmas dinner or just a Sunday roast.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, but that just really appealed. And I don't know if it's just now. I mean, maybe ask me next week, it'll be something different.
Yeah.
But, and it's a Sunday roast. I started with a roast pork. Mm. You know, so it's not too fatty, but it's got the crackling on. And not the chewy crackling, because that just hurts my teeth.
Yeah.
But, you know, the crisp stuff
with
the fat removed. And then, then the roast pork, which is sort of really moist with applesauce. I'm trying to sort of skirt around the side at the moment because I want to do something separate for that. But, with applesauce and the roast potatoes and roasted parsnips. And then maybe sort of, unfortunately, Brussels sprouts. My daughter and I really love Brussels sprouts.
Lovely.
I don't know many people who do.
If you do them right, you know, they're absolutely delicious.
Actually, with a few lardons and things like that, and roast chestnuts.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Nice and crispy.
Yes.
Roasted ones.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, it's sort of, quite a sizable plate, you know, with this all piled on. Oh, but actually, the piece de resistance is the Yorkshire pudding.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yes, and so this is sort of the non-dairy.
Absolutely
so it could all
delicious.
Be served in a massive Yorkshire pudding if I was concerned.
I love it.
Because the thing is, as using sort of the non-dairy milks, I can't make Yorkshire. I used to make fantastic Yorkshire puddings. You know?
Yeah.
They'd fluff up in the oven. They'd come out and they'd hardly sink at all. And, I'd eat them.
Yes.
But I can't do it because with non-dairy milk, there's something in the cow's milk that enables the Yorkshire. Mm. And so they come out sort of little flat pancakes now. It's just so disappointing.
Sad, yeah. But you two want a big, dairy Yorkshire pudding.
Yes.
Big enough to have the whole roast.
Yeah, the roast inside. And so I can chip away at the corners and sort of,
Yes, absolutely brilliant. That's taking up no real estate on the plate because it is the plate.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. Normally I have a go at people who put Yorkshire puddings because I think they take up too much real estate on the plate. But if it is the plate, That's a great loophole.
You got it.
Under the wire.
Because I'm enjoying actually how Dr. Mackey's quite at odds with you, Ed.
Yes.
Loves Yorkshire puddings.
Doesn't
hates
like
cheese
board.
Board.
Yeah.
But if it's a big Yorkshire pudding, I completely understand that. Would it be fair to call the big Yorkshire pudding the black hole of the roast dinner?
Mm.
Ooh, is
swallowing up all the
sucked in.
Yeah, everything gets sucked in.
Yes.
You can probably get a lot more in one of those black holes than you think you can, right? Surely.
Ooh, is that true?
And think of the gravy, because you could really go high, because you've got a lip now.
Would you do that? Would you just pour it until it's full to the brim with gravy?
Ooh, no. I want to...
I thought you were asking, would you put gravy in a black hole?
And what would
actually,
happen?
Would you put gravy in a black hole?
Well, all I know is, if you did put gravy in a black hole, like everything else, it will get spaghettified.
Spaghettified?
I just love that.
Sorry. Stupid Brian Cox didn't say
two questions. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And what would happen if you put spaghetti in a black hole?
Yeah.
Okay. So spaghettification is actually a scientific term.
Wow.
But what happens is with spaghettification, because a black hole, the gravity is so strong, the gravity at your head and the gravity at your toes would be significantly different.
Uh-huh.
So as you fall into the black hole, you get strung out into a string of spaghetti.
Whoa.
Yes, but and if you ask about spaghetti going into a black hole, spaghetti is already spaghetti, but I guess it gets just more elongated.
It wouldn't turn into a different shape of pasta.
No.
Mm. Your bow tie.
It would get penified.
Penified.
Oh, look, that black hole's penified. I need to say that very carefully.
I mean, that's exciting. I reckon if you put spaghetti in a black hole, it wouldn't know what to do with it.
We'd just sort of throw it
out.
It would
go to spaghettify it and then go, what the... What? This is all, and then it would
malfunction. Cease to be.
Yeah.
Cannot compute.
That'd be it.
It would just suck all the sauce off and spit the spaghetti back out.
Yeah. Take the spaghetti back. I got enough. Who would you most like to be spaghettified? What human being who's alive right now?
Oh, no. Actually, I'm going to go, I'm going to take the high moral ground and say, I can't think of anyone. It would be an awful death.
It would be an awful death. I'll give you three options.
Brian Cox is quite tall and thin anyway, isn't he?
He's tall and thin anyway. He already looks like he's been spaghettified.
Yeah, so therefore he'd be rejected from the black hole, so therefore he'd be saved.
Yeah.
Maybe he would get rejected.
He has already been in one.
I reckon he has. I reckon if you look at old D. Ream footage, he actually looks completely different because he hasn't been spaghettified yet. And then he got really into science after D. Ream.
He looked
at a black hole and spaghettified him. And then he came back
and wanted to understand what had happened.
Yes. And that's why he got into it.
That's how he was able to reinvent himself because people didn't recognize him from D. Ream. Because he'd been spaghettified. So it sounds lovely.
Yeah.
You said earlier, it was a cross between a Christmas dinner and roasted it, but it feels just like a Sunday roast. It doesn't feel very Christmassy.
Well, yeah, you see, because that's because you haven't met the rogue element, the pigs in blankets.
Pigs in blankets.
Obviously, I must admit, I'm one of those people that do eat pigs in blankets, not at Christmas.
Yeah.
Because why just save them for Christmas? They're good. So,
also,
yes.
It's like people eat sausage and bacon all year round. Why aren't they thinking, I'm going to wrap that bad boy around that bad boy?
Yeah.
Quite. Yeah. So, just a few of those within the giant Yorkshire.
Yes. Well,
limited gravy. I don't want it full, but you know, sort of like rice gravy, but yeah, they're in there too.
Yeah, you got to have it in there.
And the Brussels sprouts too. So it's, you know, reminiscent of a Christmas dinner.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it is quite Christmassy. Again, you know, didn't expect, you know, scientists could come on and choose a Christmas-related thing. That's very science that meets religion once again this podcast.
Yeah, but you see, I was brought up, when I was growing up, my father thought I was going to be a nun, so I was really religiously. I went to sort of 13 different schools, but some of them were sort of Catholic, some of them Church of England. So I like to spread the joy. But I was brought up really religiously.
Right.
And I don't see necessarily a clash between science and religion.
Yeah.
And I go out and look to lots of schools and speak to kids, and they say, you know, sort of, how does the Big Bang fit in with, you know, the fact that, you know, creation was 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, when did day and night come in? Because before that, you know, a day could have been billions of years. So, yeah. And I think it's... I like harmony.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Also,
a bit of harmony on the podcast.
Quite often religions used to explain science back in the day, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Explain things we don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Didn't expect this from Ed.
Yes. What do you mean?
You're wiser than I thought.
I'm a man of science.
Wow. Man of science and religion.
You saw him with those numbers earlier.
Yeah.
You heard about the Jollof tray.
Wow. I guess the Jollof tray should have tipped me off. Your dream side dish, then, is that going to be Christmassy? Is that going to be roast dinnery?
No, it's quite weird. I think it's called a tomato consommé.
Right.
Because I had something like this once, and only once in my life. Mm-hmm. And a friend had taken us to a really expensive restaurant, and it was like tomato soup on the menu, and we're thinking, well, yeah, that's a bit cheap. Yeah. And I tasted it, and it blew my taste buds because it's like sort of just slightly coloured water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you taste it, the explosion of tomato was fantastic. And also this was before the dairy allergy, but it was creamy tomato in a liquid that was clear. And I don't understand how they got that flavour.
Yeah. It's amazing, that sort of thing, because it's like they've got the very essence of tomato. You had something like that on your dream menu for the 100th episode. There was like a tomato dish that had like that on it, right?
Well, kind of, yeah. It was tomato done loads of different ways.
Oh.
But weirdly, last night I was talking to someone who was saying about they went to Owlis, a restaurant, and they got a bloody Owlis, which was like a Owlis Bloody Mary. But that was clear. Mm.
It won't, yes.
And they said it just tastes exactly like a Bloody Mary.
Wow.
Yes, and yet it's clear.
Had a little leaf of basil in it. And they thought, they bought me the wrong drink.
Yes, you just take this back.
It doesn't look bloody at all. But they said it was delicious.
It's just Mary, really, isn't it?
It really is just Mary. See, I said this.
Yeah.
I said this last night. I said, that's just Mary. And they all just went, okay. So, yesterday I was like, where the hell's
that? This is why, and I've said this before, Maggie, this is why we shouldn't hang out with anyone else.
Yeah.
It should just be me and James, because we understand each other. And the world's not ready.
Yeah, it's got to that point now where we're just basically thinking differently worded versions of the same thoughts.
Yes. Actually, I do that with my daughter and it's creepy.
Yeah.
We actually come to the same conclusions. It's exactly the same time.
I should have some vodka.
Yeah, no, vodka. Yes. Obviously, she's going to kill me for that. She is. Yeah.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Ed was going to say it. He was ready. That's why I had to get in there real quick. I was like, he's going to get there before me in the vodka joke. The race of the vodka joke now.
I think this is lovely as well because, it like, you've had the jollof rice plantain, full roast dinner in a Yorkshire pudding. The consommé might act as quite a nice sort of palate cleanser.
Yeah, an amuse-bouche. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I was because it was side, but I thought, you know, perhaps I could, you know. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, sort of, yeah. Because it's slightly acidic. You clean the palate.
Yeah.
Ready for the next. So yes. I like
sounds
that.
Delicious. And also, so when you, like when you had it for the first time, yeah. do you immediately try and figure out how they've done it? And your scientific brain can say, okay, how have they done this?
Yes. And how can I do it at home?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, and it's sort of, yeah, so how did they get you? Because as you say, it is like the essence of something, the very best of it, in a glass. And so how have they, what process have they gone through? And I think it's something pretty complicated.
Yeah.
But yes, but the fact that they can do that, I do want to know. And that's what I do with food. I analyse it. So I'm like, oh, that crackling was very good. You know, I wonder what temperature they're on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're straight to temperatures, methods.
I know, temperatures, pressures. That's what
I get a lot of videos of crackling on the internet because of my algorithm. Yeah. And
your algorithm?
My algorithm pitches me stuff it thinks I might like, and a lot of it's pork. And I get a lot of videos of, I think they do it in Chinese kitchens a lot, where they'll cook the pork and then the skin is like, there's no crackling on it whatsoever.
Oh, yes.
But the pork is cooked. And then they get like oil that's super hot and they just ladle it over the top and the whole thing puffs up into amazing crackling.
Yes, yes. Wow. So short, sharp shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the temperature change, it just expands everything out.
Yeah.
Ooh, I haven't tried that.
That's pretty impressive.
It looks dangerous. It looks pretty dangerous.
Yes, I guess you need an industrial kitchen or something.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, the person who came up with that, would you call them a scientist?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'll call most chefs scientists.
Yeah.
Mm. I think there's an inner scientist in everyone.
Yeah,
And my job is to bring it out.
Well, you do that. You do a lot, as you say, with your visits to schools and stuff. So how long have you been doing that for now? Ooh. Go to schools and like talking to kids about science?
Yeah, about 18 years.
That's long enough now that some of them might, have you seen them have like proper jobs in and then you catch up with them after you'd seen them when they were a little kid?
Yes. Actually, well, sometimes it's usually when I'm arguing with my daughter, Louie, put down the vodka! And someone come up and say, oh, Maggie. you came to my school when I was a kid. And now I studied physics and now I'm going on and doing something else. Wow. And my biggest question is, are you enjoying it? Because my biggest fear is that they didn't actually want to do it and I sort of somehow coaxed them into it. I hate this job. Why did she talk to me?
Think you've ruined their life.
Yes. Because it's scary having an influence like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also wonderful. So far, it's all, actually, there was one girl who said, hi, you came to my school. And after that, I started doing A-level physics, but I didn't like it, so I gave it up. I'm so sorry. So don't be sorry. Yes. Just do what you love.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gave her some options.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, she explored it, when not for me. Your dream drink then. And you kind of already had, so you've had the consommé. Is it a bit drinky?
Bit drinky.
Oh, yes, true.
Fair to say.
So,
yes. Oh, I see. So this isn't just a drink that goes through the meal. This is sort of a...
No, it can be.
No, it can be, yeah.
Okay. It can be however you want it to be.
Yes.
It can go all the way through the meal. You can just have it once and savour it. Ooh. Whatever you like.
Actually, it's a bit like you were saying, Ed, when you were talking about digging up the bottles. I have a something about Prosecco.
Yeah.
And there was a sign at my daughter's school saying, it's Prosecco and cheese. And so, Prosecco, that's the stuff Mum loves.
loves. She loves that.
Drinks it every morning.
She doesn't like the cheese, though.
Yeah. Skip the cheese, just the Prosecco.
Yeah. She hates cheese.
Yeah.
But I was thinking sort of a nice Prosecco to sort of, you know...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I said I won't take fizzy water, but Prosecco somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow no burping.
Now we're burping all the way to Mars.
Yeah.
But actually, it was one of the things about the water as well. I like still water, but I like it really cold.
Mm.
And the Prosecco, not quite so cold because you want the flavours.
Yeah.
But I think maybe at this time, you know, I've sort of settled. I'm probably pretty full by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, sort of like Prosecco, just sort of, again. Sort
I
of
think
like,
Prosecco, throughout the meal as well, I think it's perfect, yeah.
But see, I couldn't work out why not champagne? Why not... Because this is unlimited. I could have, I don't know.
Do you like it though? Do you like champagne as much? Not as nice?
I think it's champagne for special occasions, but a meal like this, I think I might prefer Prosecco. Yeah.
Prosecco would be great with like the spice of the jollof as well.
Yes. That will match it well.
When you say special occasions, has there ever been anything you've been involved with in work, scientific breakthroughs, where you've popped out the champagne?
There's a really large telescope. not the very large telescope, but there is the James Webb Space Telescope, JWST, largest space telescope ever built, mirror of the telescope, which is the bit that gathers the radiation, is 6.5 metres. So, and sort of 10,000 scientists across the world worked on it, and I was one of them.
Wow.
And it was launched on Christmas 2021, I think. And the thing is, it was horribly late, horribly over budget. And it was launching. And we thought, oh, so, you know, sometimes launches go horribly wrong. And it launched and it was successful. And so, yes, Christmas Day.
Then good excuse.
Yeah.
That's good. You worked on the biggest telescope in the world.
Yeah, the biggest space telescope ever. Yeah.
Man, I'm surprised you didn't lead with that straight away.
Yeah,
the most humble person I've ever met.
Yeah,
just sit here, let's chat nonsense about dark matter being evil. That should have been in the back of your mind.
That should have been the answer to Poppadoms or Bread.
I made the biggest space telescope in the world.
Just get it out.
Why are you asking me Poppadoms or Bread? I made the biggest space telescope in the world. Yeah.
How long did that take then?
That's a problem. It was horribly late. So it's meant to take 14 years, but it actually sort of took about 20. So
did you work on the whole thing?
No. So,
Are you imagining Maggie building this by hand?
Just there. Working on it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a breathing away.
Yeah. Polishing the mirror.
Yeah. And so, because with it, it's the telescope itself with the mirror.
Yeah.
And actually, that was quite clever because it was so big, they had to actually unfold it in space. And then it had something called a heat shield underneath, which is like sheets of plastic again, but they're about the size of a tennis court. And it all had to fold up really small so it could get inside the rocket. And then it's launched and it sits 1.5 million kilometres away from Earth.
Wow.
And it looks in deep, dark space because it's not an optical telescope. It doesn't look at visible light. It looks at heat energy.
Yeah.
So it looks deep, it's dark space and sort of picks up radiation that way. So you've got the telescope itself, which gathers the light, for want of a better word. But also you get instruments. And I worked on two of the instruments, the NIRSpec, the near-infrared spectrometer, and a MIRI, the mid-infrared spectrometer, I think MIRI. Anyway, yeah. Yes, but these two instruments on board. And so I probably worked on them for about 5-6 years. And then you do your stuff and you make your units, it all goes together. And then eventually it gets launched. But yeah, it was nerve-wracking because it's so, and yet 10,000 scientists. Mm. But it's lovely to be in a team like that of people across the world.
But if there's 10,000 of you, are you being like, please don't let the MIRI be the thing that breaks?
Yeah. I know. Oh,
please,
yes.
What if it's my one? Yeah. What if it's my thing?
But, and also, because often it's sort of, you're just a subsystem for one of the instruments.
Yeah.
And you're always worried that it's oh no, there's sort of something stopped working. It seems to be this. You shrink down.
Imagine everyone having to sign a birthday card for someone on the team.
Yes.
It's Pocock's birthday. Let's sign this.
The card's fucking bigger than the mirror.
It's going around. You'd have to fly from place to place as well.
I tell you what, Maggie, I didn't think of that one. And that made me laugh. Sometimes it gets me with something. I go,
spring that deep in the dark.
I wasn't there at all. I was in serious mode thinking about this telescope.
Yeah, bad luck.
Someone was doing their job.
Yeah.
Thank God Edward's there to pick up the slack. I'm there thinking seriously about a telescope. That's funny, thinking for like 10,000 comedians had to work together on something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it happen?
But comedians...
The fringe.
Yeah, look at that mess.
But comedians, you think, so sharp and so witty and that's spontaneous.
Not all of us.
Not all of us, Dr. Maggie. And those of us who are very selective about when we actually do that, when we choose to employ those skills.
Yes.
I don't think if you see two comics... try and write a script together.
Yes.
That script's never getting handed in. Anytime I see a sitcom is written by two comedians, I think, well done.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Well done for doing that
guys. But was there someone holding them together as they went off in different directions?
There must have been.
I always think one of you wrote it.
One of you wrote
it. Yes, and someone else just put a T in there. Yeah.
That's and good, the other one's more famous.
Yeah.
That's
how it works. Yeah.
We arrive at Dream Dessert.
Yes.
Very exciting for me as a sweet tooth boy.
Ooh, yes.
And I'm pretty sure I'm in good hands. You poo-pooed the cheese board already. So
that's
gone. We're fine.
And so, this is a very specific dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And because of dairy allergy, one of the things I really miss is lemon meringue pie.
Oh, yeah.
But not just any lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So when I was working out in the telescopes in Chile... I used to sort of spend day and night on the telescopes. And so I was installing an instrument there, something called BHROS, bench-mounted high-resolution optical spectrograph. It just took the telescope light and then stretched it into rainbow colours so we could analyse the light. But I was there on my own, living in a little bungalow on top of a mountain. And so I'd go to the telescope during the day and sort of work on it, and then I'd sort of come home at night. But once a week, I'd go down to sea level, off the mountain, down to sea level, and I'd stay there for one night. And I'd go to the supermarket and get supplies and take them back up to the bungalow the next day. And there was this wonderful supermarket in this a town called La Serena, and there they had the ultimate lemon meringue pie. And I don't know, have you ever been to Costco?
I don't ever been in one.
Yeah, so they in Costco they do these really sort of, you know, about about 30 centimeters in diameter,
because everything's massive in Costco.
Yeah,
right?
That's
you
it.
Have to buy like 400 rolls of toilet paper.
That's it, because they don't do the individuals.
Yeah.
And so they do these massive cakes, and it's about that size, about 30 centimeters across. And it was a lemon meringue pie, and I'd take one up for the week and sort of work through it and then get back. But the thing is, it was just so lovely, and it was just a treat, because if you've been working all day on the telescope and you were tired, you'd come back, have a glass of Chilean champagne, toast the moon as a lunatic, and have a piece of lemon meringue pie. So it's this very specific lemon meringue pie, and I didn't realize I went on about it quite so much. But my daughter, who's 13, I went to this telescope 20 years ago. My daughter's 13, and we're going out to these telescope, and she said, "Oh yes, we need to go to the telescope and get the lemon meringue pie." Because obviously I have just bigged it up.
Yeah.
And so yes, that's what I'd like, a slice of that lemon meringue pie.
That's such a lovely story.
Yeah.
And are you saying you haven't been back there yet?
No. And we're going there next month.
I think it'll be there. What if it's not there? The lemon meringue pie.
Well, the thing is, even if it is, I can't eat it because it will have dairy in it.
Oh, yeah.
But I can say, again, just thought, Laurie, have another slice. No, my mum thought, go and eat it.
Yeah. You have to see her enjoying it.
Yes.
Man, that's really lovely. Oh. It's just to be like working on the telescope, go down to sea level, get your lemon meringue pie, bring it up for the week, toast the moon.
Yeah. Eat the pie, toast the moon.
Eat the pie, toast the moon.
When the moon hits your eye like a lemon meringue pie.
That's a moon.
That's really nice. And would you have anything with the lemon meringue pie in those days? Or was it just the champagne?
Actually, just the champagne, really. Because I was thinking sort of creams or stuff like that, but
you don't need it, do you?
No.
It's all there in a lemon meringue pie.
That's it. Yeah. I totally agree. Because you've got the tart lemon, you've got the fluffy meringue, you've got the pie base.
How big is the meringue on top of the lemon? Is it like a massive chunk of meringue that's really high, or is it quite shallow?
Well, actually, no. The lemon to meringue ratio was about 50-50.
Great.
And I don't like it because sometimes you can get too much lemon as well.
Yeah.
Because that sort of overwhelms everything. But yeah, it was about 50-50. And the meringue stood up to the lemon.
So. Here's a question. I've just been thinking about it.
Yes.
Where's the dairy in the lemon meringue pie?
So I think it could be in the base.
Could be.
Yeah, it depends on how you make.
I guess butter might have to go in the base.
Yes, and if you're making a really good pastry, I think it's butter.
Yeah.
And so, but you can make it without.
Yeah.
And I do make pastry sort of with margarine and things like that, or butter substitutes. And then I think in the lemon, I don't know if you'd actually. Is dairy in
that? I'm trying to think it through whether I think you could make a very good dairy free lemon meringue pie, you know.
Right, yes.
I reckon you could. Because the egg, you're all right with eggs?
Eggs are fine, yes.
I regularly have an argument as to whether eggs is dairy.
What?
Is eggs dairy?
You regularly have an argument?
With my wife.
Oh.
Ed's wife is a dummy.
No. But what do you think? Is eggs dairy?
No.
I am very opinionated on this.
Yeah. I think eggs is dairy.
What are you on about?
it's a cheese board all over again. Just when we were bonding on the pie.
Eggs is dairy.
So Charlie is saying... They're not.
I actually can't remember which side I'm on. As a man of science.
You can't remember what side you're on.
I'm not quite sure why I'm arguing.
Yeah.
Is a cow laying an egg, Ed?
No.
I can't believe I'm having to say this to you.
Hang on, but do you think all dairy has to come from cows? Ha-ha.
Well, okay.
Ha-ha.
Okay. A sheep, a goat, none of them are laying eggs.
No.
But also, I don't think sheep or goats is actually dairy. I think dairy is cow. It's not beef.
Goat milk? Could you have goat milk then?
I don't know. Every so often,
Benito, go and get some goat milk. We're doing an experiment.
Every so often, I buy it and I put it in the fridge. It's like vegan cheese.
Yeah.
And I buy it and I think, oh yeah, but it looks like cheese and it looks like milk. And I find it physically hard to eat it because I know the effect it could potentially have on me.
It's probably not a risk worth taking, is it?
No, and it should be a risk where I can sort of, I've got the EpiPen and the antihistamines ready to go.
Yeah.
But physically, it seems weird because it's 13 years since I've had this allergy. But I look at it and I think, I just can't.
Yeah. I mean, the lemon meringue pie, we can all agree, sounds delicious.
Yes, but like, I think we're letting you off the hook here for saying chickens and laying eggs well, and, no, and that's dairy.
I do, but I can't remember if I think that.
Can't believe, no, you can't remember if you think that or not.
You're going to flip it.
Even,
like, yeah,
even worse.
I have to text Charlie
says.
Later.
Even
check
worse.
What she thinks, and then I think the opposite.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Which is broadly the position I take.
Yes.
What well, on most things.
Yeah.
Great relationship.
Yeah.
Well, it's a friction. I mean, it's a
yeah, yeah. You got to keep things spicy, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just disagree the whole rice, time.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dr. Maggie, before we read your menu back to you, I think it's nice that, you know, you are a woman of science, but very, very upbeat and positive.
Yes.
And we live in times where we're very scared at the minute. There's loads of stuff going on that's terrifying. We've touched on, you know, people starting to say aliens exist. We've got AI coming for us.
Yeah.
We've got the climate crisis. How do you stay upbeat when you know so much?
Oh.
Save a good question for the end.
Yes. So sit back and think about this one. I thought we were going to talk about farts. I mean, what's this?
Yeah. I feel like you got this the wrong way around, James.
Should I say that at the top?
Yes.
But then, you know, but everyone's heard the podcast. They've heard how upbeat Dr. Maggie is.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, and also, I would have been in a different mindset if you'd started with that.
Yeah.
But see, I think I can stay positive because I go out and see a lot of kids and I speak to them and I hear about them and I can see what they do. And we do have a hell of a lot of challenges and just all the ones you've mentioned and more as well. But I think we can do it. I think when we work together, we can achieve the seemingly impossible. It's a tagline, but I think it's true. Yeah, when we collaborate, but also when we collaborate together. And I think there are silos, you know, scientists over here, you know, creatives over there, things like that. It's all part of the same thing. And when we sort of pick and mix and sort of move around and work together, that's when I think we get results. And I think that the world is in good hands. I think the kids are going to sort of right some of the wrongs that that some of us adults have committed. So
I can't believe I didn't save a wish to stop the climate crisis.
Yeah, giving people dairy allergies.
Yeah, yeah.
That
thanks
was your
my,
wish.
Thanks for my dairy allergy, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no. Man.
See, if you started with that at the top, you might have, might have gone a different way.
Make sure not. You don't have eggs.
I'll avoid eggs from that. Easter eggs.
I think.
Easter eggs. I think you're thinking of Easter eggs. I read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Water. Really cold, still water. Problems of bread. Crusty bread with salted butter. Loads of salted butter. Starter. Jollof rice with dodo. Dodo?
Dodo.
Dodo. Main course. Roast pork with crackling, applesauce, roast potatoes, parsnips, Brussels sprouts, pigs in blankets, loads of gravy, all inside a giant Yorkshire pudding. Side dish, tomato consomme. Drink, Prosecco. Dessert, lemon meringue pie from near...
La Serena?
Oh yeah, La Serena.
In Chile with a glass of Chilean champagne to toast the mood.
That's lovely. That's a good menu.
Actually, yeah. So thank you for enabling me to participate in that. Because actually reading it back, I was thinking, oh, yeah.
Yeah, sounds pretty delicious, right?
Yeah. You'd hope you'd feel like that because you've just said it all.
I know. Yeah, so, actually, can I just change that?
Also, we've just had a little surprise for you. We've also had your daughter's menu sent in to us. We got her to do a menu.
Do you want to read that?
Yep. I've had it texted to me during this.
Yeah.
Water course, vodka.
Looks like
Pop-ups
water.
Of bread, vodka. Start, of course, vodka. Yeah, it goes on like
that. Is there more vodka?
She chooses the lemon meringue pie at the end.
Yeah.
But with vodka.
Yeah, toasting the moon with the vodka.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Maggie.
Thank you. It's been so much fun.
Thank you, Dr. You. Maggie.
To the moon.
To the moon.
To the moon.
There we are, James. Man. You know what? We learned a lot about science and space from Dr. Maggie, but I felt like we also taught her some things about science and space.
We did, and that's what every great scientist should be open to.
Yes.
Is learning from their fellow human beings.
And thank the Lord, if the Lord does exist up there in space, that Maggie did not pick Milky Way magic stars.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Maggie, for not picking Milky Way magic stars and for sharing so much about your life and science and food, family.
A delightful guest. And you should get Maggie's book, which is coming out on November 2nd, The Sky at Night, The Art of Stargazing, My Essential Guide to Navigating the Night Sky. If you are an amateur stargazer and you want to know a little bit more about it,
yes,
this is the book for you.
And someone from Penguin Random House came in and Morgana.
Yes.
Shout out to Morgana.
Shout out to Morgana.
And said that last time when we promoted one of their books, because it was out on Ebury Press, I sang a song about Ebury Press.
Yes.
Of Causton Press.
Yeah.
I can't remember the song.
No. Do you want to give it another go?
E to the B to the U to the R to the Y, because it's Ebury Press.
Brilliant. Because Morgana was saying that they considered putting your song as a reel on the on Ebury Press's Instagram.
Yeah.
And now you've got two songs. You have a whole album by the time.
Have Causton Press used my song?
No, I don't think so.
That's mind-blowing, man.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Ebury Press to the rescue, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like I'm drinking Ebury Press from now on.
Get my book, Glutton. I'd love you to get it. I'm also on tour next year. Hot Diggity Dog is the name of the tour.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Tickets available on edgamble.co.uk.
And the great Benito is also having a nice time.
Yes, he is. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Keep looking up at the stars. Toasting the moon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.